Today, the reading of God's Word be from Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. I will be reading from the King James Version. Now it happened, as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Lori, for that. That really was a blessing. God has spoken, it is clear in the past, historically he has spoken through the scriptures, and history is replete with those places where God has spoken to people, and God is speaking to us here this morning, and God is going to continue to speak tomorrow. So the question is not whether God is speaking, the question is, are we listening in order that we can hear what he's saying to us? That's the question. A young lawyer asked Jesus one time, "Lord, what's the greatest commandment? I mean, 10 commandments, can you condense them down? Which one is the greatest one?" And our Lord proceeded to answer that lawyer, but he said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one God, and you shall worship him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second commandment, akin to the first, and love your neighbor as yourself." But notice, before he revealed the greatest commandment, he said, "Hear, hear." And we have to listen in order to hear, no matter who is speaking, God himself. Unless we're willing to listen, we're never going to hear his voice speak to our heart and to our lives, and his voice to find us. Now, in this setting that we had this, that's been read to us this morning, is one of the most precious settings and stories in the entire New Testament, and you'll find it in two other Gospels. The Scripture simply says that a certain woman by the name of Martha opened her home. It was her home. She owned it. We don't know the background, but she owned that home. Martha opened her home to the Lord. Now, this is the last months of Jesus' life. He has 2.5 years, and who he is has spread throughout all of Israel. Almost everyone has heard of him. And here, Martha invites him into her home. And so Jesus comes along with his 12 disciples. And that, ladies and gentlemen, probably he came without a pre-announcement. And Martha, all of a sudden, she had to wait on 16 people to get a meal ready for 16 people. Did you ever bring home unexpected company to your wife? And you know what a panic that can be sometimes. Well, now here is Martha, and in that home there is her brother Lazarus and her younger sister Mary. Martha is the older one. And Martha is one of those terrifically responsible people. And hospitality in her day, that custom was very, very imperative. And so Martha, all of a sudden, here is this renowned, this known man who had healed people and spoke as no other man had ever spoken, and he is the guest. And you can imagine how Martha, this kind of take-charge person, she wanted it to be right. She wanted it to be okay. She wanted it to be just perfect. And so she sets about. And Jesus is out in the other room, and the 12 disciples are there, and Lazarus is there, and he's teaching them. And Mary is in the kitchen trying to get things going. And guess where Mary is? the younger sister. She is sitting at the feet of Jesus, and she is listening. Now, the women in this church are going to hold their breath as I continue this message this morning. She's sitting there listening so she can hear. This opportunity is not going to come every day of her life. And so she wants to hear. But notice this, that Mary was breaking a custom and a tradition. Women simply didn't do that. Men did that. Things have kind of improved in that regard, don't you think? But Mary broke tradition and custom, and she went in and took her place at the feet of Jesus. And so Martha comes out, and she's kind of maybe just irritated and upset and in a panic. And she doesn't go to Mary. It looks to me like she tapped Mary on the shoulder and said, "You get in the kitchen and help me." But she goes directly to Jesus, and that means the Lord was teaching, and she had to interrupt him. She said, "Lord, here I am trying to prepare for 16 people. And I'm glad to do it." I knew Martha really loved the Lord, and this was her way to love the Lord. And she said, "But here's my sister. Will you please tell her to come into the kitchen and help me?" And Jesus looks up at Martha, and he says, and kind of chides her in a very loving way. He says, "Martha, Martha, you're troubled about so many things. You're so anxious about so many things." And she had a reason to be anxious given her world at that moment. But he says, "Mary has chosen the one thing that is the most important thing. And that is to listen. And I'm not going to take that away from her." You know something, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a Martha world, do we not? Our schedules, even in retirement, I can tell you I'm busier now than I was when I was back at First Church. We live in a world that makes incredible demands on us, and it's hard to find that time to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. But if we do not find that time, we're never going to hear. And I think in this lesson, the Lord has something to say to us this morning in our busy lives. That there are some things more important than custom and tradition. There are some things more important than being on that hurried pace that the world lives in. The most important thing is that we take time to listen deeply with our hearts to hear what the Lord is saying. One thing is needful. Now, you know something, the story ends right there. And it kind of leaves you suspended in a way, because I wonder what Martha did. I know those guests were fed before they left there. But here was an invitation to Martha. "Martha, what is really important is for you to stop and for you to sit down. Mary has chosen the good thing, and Martha, you can choose the same thing, because it's more important than putting food on the table." And what if Martha said, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to go in and turn off the oven, and I'm going to put it all away, and I'm going to come back and sit, and I'm going to listen." And the Lord would have applauded her, because that was the one important thing, and it's still important for you and I in our busy lives. This one thing to listen, to decide to listen, so you can hear. God speaks in many ways, does He not? He speaks in history. Our founders of our country repeatedly they talked about providence. And what they were talking about is what we are doing is what God wants us to do. And He's assisting us to do it. They were in tune with His invisible providential presence. And God spoke in history and continues to speak in history. He speaks through nature. He speaks in great quality music. He speaks in the hymns that we sing, in the solos that we hear. It's not just a solo. It's not just a hymn. It is through that God is seeking to get us to listen and to hear His voice and the sense of His presence. And He speaks in our circumstances. He speaks to us in our dreams. He speaks to us through other people. He speaks to us through our thoughts, giving us a new thought. He speaks to us in our intuition. Sometimes we just know certain things. He speaks to us, giving us a new feeling. He speaks to us through our conscience. Do you know our society, ladies and gentlemen, is so repressing what is right and wrong that we're to a great degree losing a sense of outrage of things that are clearly not right and clearly wrong. But God speaks to us through our conscience. He speaks to us in our emptiness and in our loneliness. He speaks to us in our guilts, in our tragedies, in our prayers, in our worship services. He speaks in our failures, in our hopes, in our loss, in our sicknesses. God speaks to us, providing we are listening to hear. He longs to commune with us. Sometimes God doesn't even say anything. But for those of us who have learned to listen, we can sense His living presence with us, and nothing needs to be said. He is just there to commune with your spirit. Now, God has spoken decisively and lovingly and definitively in Jesus Christ, His Son. And to those outside of the kingdom of God, God has one voice He wants them to hear, one thing that they must hear. And that is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Those outside the kingdom, God wants them, first of all, to hear that voice, hear that word that He speaks. And that word is, you need to come home. You need to come out of the prodigal country. You need to come back to the Father's heart and sit and listen. But the prodigal son, what I like about that story, among many things, is that out there in the emptiness of his life, sitting there alone, no friends, a stranger in a foreign land. The Bible says he came to himself. It became a teachable moment. And the Spirit of God said, hey, you know something? You need to go back home. And the prodigal son heard that voice because he was at a time in his life when he was teachable. Thank God for those moments that our hearts are open. In the Methodist Church, we have this thing called, and not exclusive to the Methodist Church, we call it prevenient grace. And that means in every person's life who is not in the kingdom of God, that God's gift of grace is doing everything in their life, everything that's happening to them, everything they see, everything they read, is the prevenient grace of God saying, hear this one thing, you need to come back home. And sit at the feet of Jesus and begin this journey of listening and hearing and let that flood into your life. I read some time ago about a couple whose lives were changed in the circumstances of their lives. Bruce and Joan Steffens. It was 9/1/2001. 9/11/2001, that September morning when the towers were struck in New York City. Bruce and Joan were lawyers, and they had gotten their degree a few years before in San Francisco and moved to New York. They thought that's where the action was. And Bruce has his office on the 64th floor of the North Tower, and his wife is in the South Tower, and she has an office over there, both of them functioning as lawyers. And he said, on that morning, suddenly there was a giant explosion. And the building swayed. And everyone was in panic. Finally, even some of them jumped out the windows, as you remember. But he, on his floor, so many of them made their way to the stairwell. And they begin to run down those 64 flights. And he's trying to call his wife on his cell phone. He couldn't get her. He came to the bottom, and a guard was there. And he said, the South Tower has also been hit. But people were spilling out into the streets. And you see those pictures of those black clouds and the people running down the streets, trying to escape, not sure exactly what had happened. And so Bruce, in getting out, not knowing whether his wife was dead, and as you know, there happened to be a small church down there. They're trying to replace it even now. And as he came up on that church, he went into that church. And here he is, covered with soot and dust, disheveled, and he goes in. And he hadn't been in a church for 20 years. And he instinctively gets on his knees and he begins to pray. Boy, well, you talking about someone ready to pray and someone ready to hear. And he said, oh God, he said, I haven't been what I ought to have been. And he began to look at his life and he said, but if I get out of this, I am going to change my life. And in that circumstance, God was saying to him, this is a good chance for you to reevaluate and to change your life. That's what God was saying to him in that circumstance. And he said, Lord, remember, I don't know if my wife is alive or dead, but I hope she's alive and I'm praying for her. But if I get out of here, I'm going to change what I'm doing. Well, his wife was safe, and she joined him in this covenant between the two of them. And they continued to pray together. And to listen and to hear, not only from that circumstance, that was the beginning. And God said to them, it's time to get out of New York City. And they left and they moved 250 miles away north, right on the border of Canada in a little town called Essex. 700 population. And there they joined a church. And they became involved in the community. They began to help people who really needed their help. And they really did change their lives, all because of the circumstance that they encountered there on that September morning. How about you and me? What is God saying to you in the circumstances of your life? Because He wants to say something. In every circumstance, God wants to speak if we listen in order to hear. I think this will also change our prayer life, would it not? Because most of the praying we do are doing all the talking. And as their old saying is, God gave us two ears and one mouth. And there's a lot of truth in that. That should tell us something right there that God's saying to us the way He created us. But prayer is not just a matter of our speaking. It's all right. We need to petition God. We need to praise God. We need to verbalize our emotions and our feelings, our hopes and our dreams. But there is a time to just listen. And when that time will come to you, maybe while you're preoccupied with something else driving down the road, but if your heart is open to listen, that might be the very time that God chooses to speak to you. Paul Tournier has certainly been one of my mentors, the author of 60 books. A book was written about him called A Life That Listens. And this psychiatrist who passed away about 10 years ago, every day for 1 hour, he would sit with an empty tablet beside of him, just sitting and listening. And some of the greatest things that he wrote about came to him in that moment when he decided in his life, I am going to listen in order to hear. God wants to speak to us. And then, my friends, God speaks to us, and I'm not going to go over all these that I've mentioned, but He speaks to us in His second book, and that is the book of nature. Isaac Newton, one of the great scientists of the past, he said that when we look at nature, when we observe nature as a scientist, it's like looking at the thoughts of God. Because God created everything that is, and His mind, the thoughts of His mind, are embedded in creation itself. It's not just a sunrise that looks beautiful. It is a sunrise that God created, and part of His mind is in that creation. And if we listen to nature, even here, God has something to say to us. Psalms 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. Day after day gives forth speech. Night after night reveals knowledge. And that knowledge and that voice, the scripture says, Psalms 19, that everyone hears that voice because nature speaks in a universal language. To those who will listen, they will hear the pulsate of God's heart, even in nature. We sing a song, this is my Father's world, and to my listening ear, all nature sings and around me, nature rings and around me sings the music of the spheres, but only to those who listen. Next week, I'm going to talk about listening to one another. My wife will not be here next week. But I have to tell you, my friend, when we take Jesus Christ into our lives seriously and begin to listen to Him, He frees us in ways to listen to other people that are otherwise not possible. Not possible. Mary, in this story, God speaks to us today. As we begin this year, take time to listen. Amen and amen.